Okay, topic will be the meditation on the last things, but very important realities in our lives. As we approach the end of the church year, which we celebrate the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, it's very profitable to pray and to reflect upon the topic of the last things. In theology, this is called eschatology, the study of the last things, shortness of our life. All of us must come to terms with our mortality. That means that there will be a year, and in that year a month, and in that month a week, in that week a day, and in that day an hour, in that hour a minute, in that minute a second, in the split second when we will die. Our immortal soul will say goodbye to our body. Our body will pass from this life on earth into eternity. We'll stand before Jesus, the judgment seat of God, to be judged on all that we've done, failed to do in our lives. Matthew chapter 25. I invite all to read and to meditate upon the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 25. There are three poignant and challenging parables. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the final judgment. Images of the shortness of life. The psalmist compares our life to the flower of the field that rises its head in the morning sun, but withers and dies as the sun goes down. St. James compares our life like a breath of smoke. St. Augustine states that our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Mere blink of the eye. How short our life is, mere blink of the eye. Short. Very short. How short and uncertain is life? Every week, almost every day, we hear of untimely, unpredicted, and untimely deaths from the news at night and the news articles every morning. Therefore, it's very salutary, propitious, and exceedingly helpful for us to spend some time reflecting on these eternal truths. Many people are lost for all eternity because they fail to spend time thinking seriously and meditating upon the why of their existence and the transitory and ephemeral reality of life. Our Lady of Fatima said that if we meditated upon eternity, we would quickly change our lives. So let's meditate upon the last things. Okay, these are the last things, the reality of death. One day we're going to die. We don't know when. As soon as we die, we're going to be judged by our Lord. Then the third reality is the possibility of losing our souls, that hell exists. We'll be talking about that. Then our ultimate goal is we want to go to heaven. Well, there's a place in between heaven and hell, and that's called purgatory. So death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, and eternity. That's worthy of memorizing. The reality of death, we're going to die one day. Then we're going to be judged. Then we're either going to be saved or damned for all eternity. If we go to heaven, we go to hell. If you go to purgatory, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to make it. But purgatory could be, you could be in purgatory one day, it could be purgatory 1,000 years. I know these are very, very serious truths, but if we meditate upon them, they can help to take us to take our life and the purpose of our life much more seriously. If we really meditate upon these topics. Okay, so let's go through them one at a time. What is death? What is death? There's the clinical or medical definition of death. Then there's the spiritual or theological definition of death. The clinical definition of death would be when your brain waves, they go flat. You ever go in the hospital, you see that machine where it's going up and down, indicating that you're brave, you know, your brain waves are functioning, as well as your heart. When your brain waves go flat and your heart stops beating, then medically you're dead. But there's a theological definition that we're going to learn today. And it's relatively short that we can all memorize. So write this down. Death is the separation of the soul from the body. The death is the separation of the soul from the body. When the soul leaves your body, then in the eyes of God, then you're dead. The soul leaves the body. Okay, when will we die? When will we die? We can write, Only God knows when we're going to die. Only God knows when we're going to die. When I was in Argentina, there was an older catechist that was teaching me my Spanish, and she had a lot of short one-liners, and she said this. Some of you speak a little bit of Spanish. She say, "La muerte es lo más cierto y lo más incierto." Yeah. It's a good one. How's your Spanish? La muerte es lo más cierto y lo más incierto. No cierto? It's a good one, no? Kind of like a play on words, right? La muerte, lo más cierto, lo más incierto. Lo cierto? So death is what? It's the most certain thing, but it's also the most uncertain thing. The most certain thing because none of us can escape it. But it's uncertain because we don't know the day, the time, the hour, the manner. We don't know. But we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for the day, the hour, the moment that God is going to call us from this life to the next. If you were to die tonight, would you be ready? Probably not, huh? Probably have to clean up your act a little bit, huh? It's a good question. It's very thought-provoking, isn't it? If I had to die tonight, would I be ready? In a certain sense, we should be ready, because we should always be trying to do God's will, right? But often we'll put off. You hear the word procrastinate, we put off the good things until tomorrow. But really, I mean, we really should be ready to die whenever God calls us, and that should be today if God calls us. We don't know when God's going to call us. For example, in my family, my grandmother lived in 3 centuries. Most of you think that's impossible. No, it's not. How could someone live in 3 centuries? The person would have to be born right at the end of 1 century, right? So my grandmother was born in 1898 and she died in 2002. She lived to be 104 years old. Whereas I had a little sister that lived only 9 months. Do you know what a stillborn baby is? None of you? It's when you have the baby and the woman, the umbilical cord, you know what that is? The umbilical cord strangled my little sister. My parents already had 5, and I was 8 years old. That would have been number 6, no? And I always find that to be interesting. My grandmother, 104. My little sister, only 9 months in the womb. Very interesting. So whether or not you're 104 or 9 months, still, one day, we have to die. So once teaching a confirmation class, asked, what would you like? Okay, you know you're going to die. What would you like your last meal to be? Your dad worked in Pollo Loco, maybe Pollo Loco, right? Maybe Domino's Pizza or Chuck E. Cheese, huh? Now maybe like a Big Mac. Or maybe you Mexicanos, you like Taco Bell, huh? Or maybe have a little bit more money, go to Black Angus and get a nice steak, huh? A bit of vino tinto de Jalisco. Huh? So I asked, they were all responding. One person in the class said, I'd like my last meal to be Holy Communion. No one said that? I said that. Amen? Amen? I said, I'd like my last meal to be Holy Communion. And Jesus said, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Be good. Your last meal, Holy Communion. That would be pretty good. You know, about six years ago, my father died. It was October 1st. The day before he was really feeling sick, and my mother called the priest. So the priest brought my father all the sacraments. So he went to confession, he received the anointing of the sick, then he received Holy Communion. That was September 29th. The following day he got even worse. So my mother went to the nearby church, got the host, and gave my father the host. And about two hours after that he died. It's kind of a beautiful story. I mean, married to my mom for 62 years. That's a long time, right? 9 children, 39 grandchildren. A pretty big family. And the last gesture of my mom that really loved my dad was that she gave him Holy Communion, and then he dies about 2 hours afterward. Beautiful story, right? Yeah. You don't have too many wives like that. She was thinking, I got to get my husband up to heaven, upstairs. No? So she brought the priest, and then the following day, she brought my father Holy Communion, and that was his last meal. Wow. And Jesus said, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Now, if you could receive a gift, pray that maybe before you die, you can receive the last sacraments. You know, it's there's a real blessing you if you have a friend that's a priest, right? You have a friend that's a priest, that when you're having those tough times, he can give you those sacraments, help you to get up there, huh? No, don't make me angry, huh? I think it's good fire insurance, right? Yeah, fire insurance. Hmm? Good spiritual fire insurance. So we really don't know when we're going to die, but we have to be prepared. Okay, I'm going to jump down to number 4. I really should have put 4 as 3 and 3, 4. I'd like to tell you, I want to tell you a story, a parable that Jesus mentions about this topic. This is the story. In the parable, what is a parable? It's a human story with a divine message. Es un cuento humano con un mensaje divino. Amen. And this is the story. Jesus said that there was a farmer that had a really good harvest. So he had a lot of wheat and a lot of grain. But there was a problem that his harvest was so abundant that the silo where the harvest was stored was too small. So he didn't know what to do. So he brainstormed. He picked his brains, so to speak. What am I going to do? And I got it. I got it. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger barns. And he says, speaking to himself, my friend, you have a lot of money, a lot of grain, you have a lot of possessions in store, therefore you have a long life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up! In the United States, we say, it's Miller time. Huh? Miller time. Enjoy life. And Jesus says, you know what he says about that guy? He says, you fool! Jesus says we should never call anyone a fool, but he can call him a fool. Because that very night, that man's going to die. Where's it going to go? Where's all that money going to go? To Biden and company, huh? To the federal government. To the federal government, huh? You can't take it. You can't take what you possess beyond the grave, even to the grave. So it is for people that only live for this world. And the richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world he's going to end up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. I repeat, the richest person in the world and the poorest is going to end up in the 6 feet beneath the ground. Should I tell the story of Francis Borja? Should I? It's a strong one, isn't it? Okay, there was a very famous duke of high rank in Spain, and he lost his wife, and he admired the beautiful queen of Spain. Young, beautiful, attractive, rich, and he really admired her. A very beautiful woman, maybe in her 20s, maybe early 30s. And what happened, she died all of a sudden. So she was placed in the coffin, and there was a long funeral procession with the coffin going from one place to another. It took a couple of days. And before burying her, the coffin popped open, and they looked at her, and she's being eaten by worms. He thought, wow, if that's what happens to human beauty, he left everything. He went on to become a priest, a follower of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and he became a saint because he had that experience with death and corruption after death. That's what Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be given to you besides. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be given you besides. Powerful story, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so what is foolish in this regard? Okay, say put number four, parable of Jesus, and this would be the parable of the rich fool. What is foolish in this regard is, write down number three, is to live in mortal sin is very foolish. To live in mortal sin is very foolish. Back when I was your age, there was a lot of classical rock and roll music. Oh, wow. Classical rock and roll music. No? And one, I'm sure your father would be aware of the group, it's called the Group of the Living Dead. As well as, no, it was the Grateful Dead. No? Never ever thought about that theologically, the Living Dead. How might you translate that theologically, the living dead? Huh? Someone whose body is living, but his soul is dead. Your body is living, and your body can be living, but your soul can be dead at the same time. How is that? You know, you commit a mortal sin, your physical life is still alive, I think. But your soul is dead. So if our soul is dead, how can we bring it back to life? Soul is dead. How can we bring it back to life? There's hope. And I'll tell you, by repentance and making a good confession, you're coming back to life. So your soul is being reborn every time you make a good confession. The confession is like it's like forest lawn, or all souls, huh? It's like being in the cemetery. So you go in to the confessional. Okay, when you're going, when you're waiting outside, you're dead. When you come out, you're alive. Remember Lazarus in the Bible? Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come on out!" The guy was dead for 4 days, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came out, and he gave him to his sisters, Mary and Martha. So he passed from death to life. Passed from death to life. So how would you like to die? You know, I really love this question because it's thought provoking. You never thought about this before. And once you come in Father Broom's catechism class, sooner or later we're going to be talking about that because that's very important. Usually confirmation students will say this, "Father, I like to die in my sleep." Yeah. Oh yeah? What happens if you die in your sleep and you're in mortal sin? You wake up in hell. Not a good place to wake up to, is it? No? So, dying in your sleep, it could be good, but it might not be that good at all. I would like to place what I just said about 5 minutes ago. How would you like to die? Why don't you put after receiving the three last sacraments. After receiving the three last sacraments. So let's try to create the scene. So I'm the priest and you're dying. So I go to the hospital and you're still conscious. Okay. You're still conscious because there's a difference between the way we treat a person that's conscious and a person that's in coma, right? So what I would do first is, okay, now is the time to make your confession. Yeah. Get it all out. What you don't want to do is you don't want to die with unconfessed mortal sin. That's the last thing you want to happen to you. Yep. You don't want to die with unconfessed serious sin. So, first thing is try to make a good confession. Get it all out. Get it all out. Then, after you receive absolution, the next sacrament I give would be the anointing of the sick. The anointing of the sick is one of the sacraments that is to be received in that context when you're really sick. And the way it's given is the priest places his hands on the head, okay? Hands on the head. And then they take oil and anoint your forehead with oil. And then anoint your hands with oil. And that gives you, when you're suffering, it's not easy to suffer. Maybe you haven't suffered too much yet, but eventually you will suffer in your life. That gives you strength in your suffering, and patience, and hope. And you're able to unite your suffering to the cross of Christ. So you're able to kind of carry the cross at the end of your life. Then after the anointing I give, related to the anointing of the sick, I give you what's called the apostolic pardon. The apostolic pardon means is that all of your sins are forgiven and you receive a plenary indulgence. So if you die, you can go right to heaven. Wow. Not bad, huh? Go right to heaven? And it's only about 25 words that the priest has to say. You can't say it. We have to say it. So we're given permission from the Pope and the Church to give this apostolic pardon. Then after that, you're still conscious. I take the pyx where I have the little host, and maybe can't masticate all of it. I give you maybe half the host, the body of Christ. You receive those sacraments. I would like to add about three other things, just to be safe. I would do this. Pray the rosary. Pray the chaplet of my mercy. And say a fervent prayer to St. Joseph and St. Michael the Archangel. With that, you're ready. And I may have mentioned about 6 weeks ago, I had to travel to New Hampshire because my mother was very sick. So I traveled close to 2,500 miles. And you know what I did? I heard my mom's confession. I gave her the anointing of the sick. I gave her the apostolic pardon. I gave her Holy Communion. Then me and my older brother, we prayed the rosary and the chaplet of Divine Mercy that night. My mom said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. But she didn't go yet. She was prepared. It pays to have a son as a priest, right? My friends, the most important moment in your life is the moment you die. You're thinking about Halloween. I'm thinking about the importance of how you're going to die. I repeat, the most important moment in your life is the moment you die. That will determine your destiny for all eternity. Last Saturday, I prepared myself for death 200 times. Know why? Four times. 4 times 50? Not good at math, are you? It's 200, huh? Never been good at math, have you? Okay. So 4 times 50. Huh? Every time I said the Hail Mary, I said, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. So every time you pray the rosary, you're preparing yourself to die 50 times. So, once you finish these classes, and there are not too many left, time goes by quickly, especially when you're in good company, right? Is I hope that you're going to be praying the rosary even after we finish these classes. With your mom, your dad, or maybe by yourself. You do that. I can give you a sure path to help you to get to heaven. You want to hear it? Do three things. Three things. And it's not complicated. Are you listening? Three things, okay? Every month, make a good confession. You hear me? Okay. Scared you a little bit, huh? No. Once a month, a good confession. That's not that much. You know what that is? That's three minutes a month. It's not going to take you more than 3 or 4 minutes. You come with me. I'm quick. No. Good quick confession. Okay. Good quick confession. So you're getting rid of all the bad. Get rid of all the evil. Get rid of all the sin. Now, once a week, at least once a week, Holy Communion. So you go to Mass on Sunday and you receive communion and receive it with a lot of love. Yes? Hopefully more often. The more the better, huh? Then once a day, the rosary. You know, really it's not that much, is it? It's really not that much. Once a month, okay, you know, a 5-minute confession. Kind of, you know, you ever see those In-N-Out hamburger places? Okay, In-N-Out, okay? In-N-Out, no. I'm not going to give you a hamburger, no. Nor papitas, huh? No. Okay, so you have it. Once a month, a good confession. Once a week, a fervent communion. Receive communion with a lot of love. And every day, get that rosary in. Now, you do that the rest of your life, there's a very, very, very good chance that all of you are going to be saved. Yeah, you're all going to be saved. You know, you might have to go to purgatory. I'm not going to deny that. You might have to have a pit stop in purgatory. No? But if you receive those last sacraments, your confession, the anointing of the sick with the apostolic pardon and communion, hey, you can go to heaven right away. You want to go to heaven? Not really, huh? Well, I tell you, I want to go to heaven. Maybe you don't want to go to heaven. I really want to go to heaven. Much more than you. I mean, I want to stay here as long as God wants me to stay here. I want to stay here as long as God wants me to stay here. I want to stay here. But I tell you, when I die, I want to go to heaven right away. You too, Mary? Amen. Yeah. Belinda, you want to go to heaven?
Yes,
or you want to go to Manila? Huh? Okay. You want to go to heaven, right?
Yes,
yeah, we should really want to go to heaven. Now pray that you know, you're here to get to heaven. Pray that you long to go to heaven. Okay, let me give an example. Okay, most of you are 13, 14, 15. I think when you were 7 or 8, you wanted to go to Disney or Knott's Berry Farm, right? Or maybe, have you ever gone down to San Diego, SeaWorld? Ever gone there? SeaWorld, that's cool, isn't it? Maybe go to Animal World there in San Diego. San Diego got a lot of nice places, huh? Or maybe you like, you know, Magic Mountain. Which of those you like best? Probably when you were a little girl or a little boy, 7 or 8, you said, "Mom, I really want to go to Disney. I really want to go." Or maybe if some of you have younger brothers or sisters that maybe 7 or 8 or 9, okay? Yeah, you got a younger sister, right? "Mom, I want to go to Disney." And your little sister tells your mom 20 times, and your mom says, "Okay, you have to get along well with your older sisters, okay? You have to do your homework, you have to make your bed, okay? You got to brush your teeth too. Comb your hair, huh?" So your little sister behaves like a little angel the whole week. Why? Okay, she wants to go to Disney. Think about what is the thing that you like most right now in your life? I think you all have something you like, right? You don't have to say it, but think about what is the thing you really like most right now? Okay. Heaven is going to be a million times better than that. And it's going to be forever and ever and ever. Got that? Heaven is going to be a million times better. It's not going to be 10 minutes. You go to Disney, or three hours. It's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. So that's just a pale image of. I'm trying to get you to think. What do you like most on a human level? Okay. Magnify that a million times, and forever, you have just a little window into heaven. Got it? That's a good exercise to do. Think about what you really like. Well, you really like to do certain things. Okay, heaven is going to be a million times better, and it's going to be forever and ever and ever. We have to really long for heaven. And then once you long for heaven, you gotta do the things that's going to help you to get to heaven. Once you're convinced intellectually of the importance of heaven, then you got to take the steps. I really want to go up to San Francisco. Okay, you get in the car and you drive south. Hey, you end up in Tijuana. You're going the wrong direction, huh? I want to go to San Francisco. There you're learning how to drive. Then you go, zoom. Before you know it, there you are past Chula Vista. You're in a Tijuana, Tecate, huh? Hey, you don't go south, you go north, huh? So, you gotta get to heaven. You have to know how to get there. There you have, you have your first car and you've been saving up. You get a Maserati. You ever hear that? Maserati is about $750,000, made in Italian, in Italy, Milan, best sports car in the world. No. So you're planning to go to San Francisco. You got the Maserati. You put the keys in the car. Never get out of the parking lot. You know why? Because there's no gas in the tank. No gas in the tank, you're not going to go anywhere, right? So if you're in mortal sin, you got mortal sin, you're not going to get anywhere spiritually. You got to fill the tank with God's grace, and then you can move a mile a minute. Now you got the best car in the world, but there's no gas in the tank. You're not going to get out of St. Peter Chanel Hall parking lot, huh? So you want to get to heaven, then you have to take the steps. Take the steps, okay? You know, loving God and saying your prayers and going to confession and going to communion, going to confirmation, obeying your parents, working hard at school, not always fighting with your brothers and your sisters, oh no. Father, you're asking the impossible. No, it's not impossible. Tell you something probably going to shock you. I'm one of nine, and I lived with my older brother for 17 years, and he went off to college to become a doctor. A spine surgeon. No? You got problems with your back, he can put your back up straight. Okay? Got back problems? Go to Florida and he'll treat you. I'll give you a discount, okay? But you know, you know what bunk beds are? You have bunk beds? We had bunk beds. Okay? We had to switch. One week he'd be on the top. You had the guardrail, I'd always knock you down, hit my head on that. Thanks be to God, I have a hard head, no? Yeah, I didn't like to stop on the top because I always had ants in my pants. I'd be moving and I'd fall down, boom, like a minor atomic bomb, boom. It was up on the roof, too. But we only fought about three times. You ever fight with your sister? Every day, huh? Yeah, but only two or three times in 17 years. How about that? Why? Because my parents really tried to get us to really love each other and to always pray for each other. Now you can't go one day without fighting, huh? 17 years, only about two times, no? I think I won the fights, no? He'd always try to dialogue, but I'd duke it out, no? Two different temperaments, no? So, we want to get to heaven. I know, okay, you're thinking, I want to live in Hawaiian gardens forever and ever and ever. You're thinking about that, huh? Diana says yes, because I like the casino. Susanna, no, I love McDonald's. I like the Big Macs, huh? Well, once you get to heaven, it's going to be better. Much better than Big Macs. And better than the Hawaiian Garden Casino, huh? All right. So the point is, we should have a real longing to get to heaven. Real longing to get to heaven. All right. So what happens after death? What happens after death spiritually? Do any of you ever hear the word reincarnation? You heard the word reincarnation? You've heard of it? What is how do you interpret the word reincarnation? You've heard it, but you don't know the interpretation of it? Diana? Being born again. So that's what the Hindus and the Buddhists believe in the East. Did you know that? So that if you go to the East, like India, you have a lot of Hindus and Buddhists, and there's different visions of history. We have the linear vision of history, the Judeo-Christian. You're born, you live, you die, and you're judged. Whereas they have a cyclical. It means that you're born, you live, you die, and you're transformed. Okay? As you said, you're born again. You're born, you live, you die, and you're transformed. So, if you live a really good life, you come back as the queen of the Queen of England. Ooh, maybe Elizabeth 99. Okay. Beat Queen Elizabeth, huh? But you live a bad life, you come back as a cucaracha. Huh? Or as a caterpillar, or as a toad. You come back as a frog. How would you like to come back as a frog? Huh? Or as a pit bull? Huh? You'll bark to that, huh? No, well, they believe that. If you live a bad life, you come back as a lower form, okay? It's a lower form of existence. You come back, if you live a good life, then you come back in a higher realm. Do we believe in that? No. Once I was talking about that, and there was an ant that was walking in front of me and said, I don't believe in the reincarnation. Hey! Killed my great-grandfather. They wake you up. Do they believe that, you know, your great-grandfather might be an ant? It might be a cucaracha. But we don't believe in that, do we? No, we believe you got one life to live. One life to live? Oh, kids, you want to see it graphically. They've got the vision. It's called cyclical. You're born, live, die, and you return, okay? And then the wheel of existence goes around and around and around like a Ferris wheel. Then you enter into karma, non-existence. It's over. It's over. So that's the Eastern vision of history. But we have the Western vision of history, which is very different. What do we believe? We believe in linear. So you're born, right? Then you live a certain amount of years. And then what happens, the moment of truth is you die. Here's your death. And then there's two possibilities. Two possibilities. You go either up or down. You ever go in an elevator? Can you see the elevator? They always got that arrow. Goes in that direction, goes in that direction. Make sure you hit the right arrow, huh? Right? Hit the right arrow, right, Belinda? You don't want to hit the wrong arrow, otherwise you end up in the wrong place, no? We want to make sure that we're hitting the right arrow. We're always hitting the right arrow every day. So this would be the Judeo-Christian Catholic vision of history. It's linear, okay? You're born, you live a certain amount of years, then you die, and then you got the arrow. You either go up or you go down. And this would be the idea of the Eastern vision of the reincarnation. The wheel of existence that spins and spins and spins and spins, no longer spins, and you win the new karma, non-existence. Right? Pretty sad, isn't it? I like our interpretation better than theirs. No? I'm not going to be a Buddhist or Hindu. I'm going to stay as a Catholic. Huh? All right. So what happens after death? You're going to say, well, my body decomposes. Okay, gotcha. Biologically, you're right. Your body's going to decompose. Did you know that some saints, their bodies don't decompose? You know that? Yeah. There's a really good book by Joan Carroll called The Incorruptibles. Some saints, their bodies... Maybe you heard of Padre Pio, some of you? Padre Pio? His body's incorrupt. You ever hear of Saint Bernadette? Yeah. Body incorrupt. And one of my favorites is, you ever hear of San Antonio, Saint Anthony? He lived in the 1200s. There's only one part of his body that did not corrupt after 800 years. His tongue. His tongue is incorrupt. Why do you think? Good point. Very good. I never thought about that. That's one of the reasons why. But another is because he was one of the greatest preachers in the Catholic Church. Yeah. I like your interpretation. Yeah. But he was one of the greatest preachers in the Catholic Church. Sometimes a Sunday Mass, well, sometimes I'll go on maybe 15, 20 minutes, go on a little bit long. No, my father, he'd preach 2 or 3 hours and the people would be captivated. Once they wouldn't listen to him, and he went to a nearby river and he preached, and the fish, they popped their head out of the water, they were listening to him. Yeah, read his life, no? Maybe I should do that. People don't listen to me. The teenagers don't listen to me. I'm going to go to the river. I'll preach to the fish, and they'll start to listen to me. Huh? No fish story, huh? All right. So after we die, what happens after death is... What do you think, Diana? Okay, not bad. What is she? Yeah, you're pretty good. We get judged. How's it going to happen?
I don't know. I think probably God's going to tell us through. He's going to reflect on our lives, and then he's going to tell us through. He's going to tell
us. Good. So you're going to. Who's going to judge you? Anything else? Is it going to be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or Mary, or an angel, or a saint? Anyone know who's going to judge you? Jessica, do you know? Well, God, how many persons in God? Three. Which of the three will judge? Well, is it going to be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Nope. You know, right? Yeah, it's going to be the Son, So what happens is you're going to go before Jesus, and what's going to happen is he's going to show you the movie of your life. La película de la vida. I like Spanish, huh? So you're going to give him the movie of your life, and you're going to be sitting back, and like a big movie screen. You ever go to Edward Cinema? Ever go to the movies? The big, huge white screen. Okay. The huge screen is going to be, you know, 5-10 times bigger than this, and you're going to be sitting and you're going to be watching it with Jesus. Jesus is going to be looking at your face. So everything you've ever done. So when you're small, all the way until you died. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Well, I mean, I think it is scary because none of us are perfect, right? And all of your good actions, all of your bad actions, all the things that you did that was good, all the things that you decided not to do. And now, buckle your seatbelts now. Are you listening? Every time you open up your mouth, your guardian angel presses the button. So all the words you ever said from goo goo gaga, until you're a little baby, until... maybe that was those the first words. Maybe you said a little baby. Until your last words, you're going to be hearing every word you ever said in your life. Wow! Hey, think before you speak, huh? Think before you speak. And not only that, but, are you ready? All of your thoughts, how was your thought life? Mouse or manners, huh? Then all of your feelings. And you ready? All of your intentions. All of your intentions, even the most secret intentions, are going to be revealed like the sun at midday. Then you're going to see it. Then Jesus is going to look at you and he's going to say, what do you think? Lord, let me go back to life. Let me do it over again. Well, isn't it a blessing that there are only 14 or 15 that are listening to this talk? Don't you think it's important? I wish I heard this when I was 14. So starting right now, you can start to live a good life. When you're 13, 14, say you live to be 75, you still got another 60 years of life. All right? So starting now, do everything thinking about your judgment. Do only what things that are pleasing to God. Amen? Starting now, do only things that are pleasing to God. That when you go before Him, He's going to see everything you did. Is that going to be pleasing to God or no? If it's not pleasing to God, simply don't do it. If it's going to be something pleasing to God, hey, go for it. Go for it. That's called the particular judgment, then at the end of the world, there's going to be the general judgment. So, say for example, you die, you go right to heaven, you're just going to be going with your soul, which means you're incomplete. Then at the end of the world, the soul is going to be united to the body. That's called the general judgment. There's only two people in heaven, in body and soul, and that would be Jesus and Mary, right? But if you go to heaven, you're just going to be going in your soul. So you're incomplete. As the philosopher says, we have a composite nature of body and soul. Well, then I really think if they take this talk seriously, they're going to change. So am I, right? Because we only have one life to live. Let's try to live very good lives, holy lives, lives pleasing to God, so that when we die, all of us can go right to heaven. That should be our goal. As a little kid wants to go to Disney or Knott's Berry Farm or Magic Mountain or Chuck E. Cheese, whatever it might be, we should want to go to heaven. Got that? We should want to go to heaven more than anything else, but also to take the steps to get to heaven. Not to get in the car, the Mercedes-Benz with the key, but there's no gas in it. You're not going to get it with the parking lot. You know, the best car in the world, no gas, and you're not going to get out of the parking lot. The gas is God's friendship. Gasoline is God's friendship. Hopefully it's not E, but it's going to be F, full. Amen? Okay, so I want to continue on this. Next week I want to talk about hell. But I want to talk about heaven too, okay? And I want to talk about purgatory. So we've set the stage to talk about three other very important topics: the reality of hell, heaven, as well as purgatory. And eternity, which means forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Let's say Hail Mary so that we all get to heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. And the Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are welcome. Okay.